a plea in a federal case. I'm Melissa Patrick. A former missionary with an Ohio-based ministry pleaded guilty yesterday to federal charges that he sexually abused two boys in Haiti, reaching an agreement with prosecutors that could lead to a prison sentence of at least 25 years. Jeriah Mass, 45, of Millersburg, who told police in 2019 he had molested more than 30 boys in Haiti and four children in Ohio, entered the plea before Judge Donald C. Nugent in federal court in Cleveland. Under the plea agreement, Mast and prosecutors agreed that an appropriate sentence would be between 25 and 33 years, though the judge would have final say. Sentencing is scheduled for December 15th. Mast took trips to Haiti for mission work between 2002 and 2019. That included several years of work for the Millersburg-based Christian Aid Ministries, which coordinates missionary activities supported by Amish, conservative Mennonite, and related church groups. Mast belonged to a church in a related Anabaptist movement. Mast was arrested on federal charges last November, shortly after he received early release for a sexual abuse conviction in Ohio State Court. Mast was formally indicted in December on four federal charges of engaging in illicit sexual conduct in a foreign place. The indictment alleged he abused four boys in Haiti, one each in 2004 and 2007, and two in 2011. Mast's guilty plea was to charges involving the 2004 case and one of the 2011 cases, each involving a minor between 12 and 16 years old. Prosecutors agreed to move for dismissal of the remaining two charges, according to the plea agreement, but Mast admitted to the factual basis of the remaining charges in the plea agreement. The charges were based on a U.S. law that prohibits citizens from engaging in any illicit sexual conduct with another person overseas, according to court filings. Mast's attorney filed a motion in May to get the charges dismissed, saying the law exceeds the constitutionality of Congress's ability to regulate citizens' conduct overseas. The court denied the motion in August. The plea agreement indicates Mast reserved the right to appeal that ruling. Assistant Attorney General A. Tyson Duva of the U.S. Department of Justice's Criminal Division says that this type of predatory conduct committed by someone entrusted with missionary work represents a profound betrayal of trust, and this plea is an important step toward justice for the many victims harmed by Mast's actions. Yesterday marked the second time Mast pleaded guilty in a sexual abuse case. He was sentenced in Holmes County Court in 2019 to 9 years in prison on state charges of gross sexual imposition involving two boys in Ohio. But in October 2025, Mast received an early judicial release from state prison and was placed on probation. Retired Judge Edward Emmett O'Farrell of neighboring Tuscarawas County granted his release based on, quote, an exemplary record behind bars, and most importantly, the defendant stated and demonstrated remorse for the crimes he committed and the emotional and psychological pain and suffering he inflicted upon the child victims and their families in this case, end quote. U.S. authorities had previously been investigating Mast's actions in Haiti, but the probe had remained largely dormant while Mast was in state prison. Federal prosecutors accelerated their investigation after learning of Mast's early release from state prison, according to federal court records. In 2019, Christian Aid Ministries placed two of its managers on leave amid revelations that they knew as early as 2013 that Mast had confessed to sexual misconduct, yet kept him on the job. Creating a safety plan was the topic at this month's Holmes County Chamber of Commerce and Tourism Bureau meeting. Captain Tim Stryker from the Holmes County Sheriff's Office spoke with business owners last week about creating a plan for active threat situations. Captain Stryker is a certified ALICE instructor and has worked with school districts to create plans to keep students safe and explain what the acronym stands for.
The acronym of ALICE is Alert, Lockdown, Inform, Counter, and Evacuate. It's kind of messed up of how that's said because you're thinking you should do this in specific order, but it's not. If you can evacuate a violent shooter, active shooter situation, you need to evacuate.
He adds that your evacuation plan should include a rally point so everyone in the building can be accounted for. Captain Stryker says the first step when it comes to an active threat is the alert process.
So a lot of places I go, it's like, well, who should call 911? I don't care if everybody in the building calls 911. At least someone was responsible to call 911. Don't depend on someone else to get early access. 911 communicators are trained to take calls and vet the calls on what's important. I know a couple of you, I'm going to call you out by names only because I know you. Chris calls 911 and says, hey, there's an active shooter in the building. Where is he at? I don't know, I got shots. Ryan calls me and says, there's an active shooter, he's wearing a gray shirt, I can see him right now. Thanks, Chris, for the phone call. We've got another important call that we're going to keep on the line.
Captain Stryker says in an emergency, they try to keep callers with eyewitness accounts of what's happening on the line so they have as much pertinent information as possible for their response. The L in Alice stands for lockdown.
The only time that we suggest, with a lot of experience, a lot of case interpretation, is that if you lock down, it's because you have no other means to evacuate and the intimate threat is right upon you. If you're going to lock down, barricade. We are going to put everything in front of this door. If they're going to get in here and they want to waste the time getting in here, they're going to have a hard time doing it. But again, what you're doing is you're saving valuable minutes for not only us to get here, but for someone else to either evacuate or someone else to barricade themselves in that room.
Captain Stryker says that the Holmes County Sheriff's Office will visit Holmes County businesses and conduct a threat assessment.
We'll go through and we will go through room by room. We'll start with the outside, do an outside perimeter. If I was a bad guy, where's the vulnerable access that I would come into? Once I'm inside, what are we looking for? Where are the shutoffs for gas? Where are the shutoffs for electric? Where are all these things? We would go around and we make sure that we can give that a threat assessment to you, and then you can go back and talk to your bosses or talk to, you know, your people.
If you would like a threat assessment for your business, you can reach out to the Holmes County Sheriff's Office at 330-674-1936. The Holmes County Sheriff reported for yesterday one accident, five incidents, and this arrest. Lonnie Van Burkholder of Baltic, who's arrested and charged with voyeurism to spy or eavesdrop upon another. Recent data shows that Ohio is the top state for business in the country due to factors like location and cost of living. But while unemployment may be low, the number of people to fill open positions has also declined. According to the U.S. Bureau of Statistics, Ohio's unemployment rate fell this summer, but Greg Lawson with the Buckeye Institute says unemployment only tells part of the story and that there are fewer people with jobs or actively looking for one in the state. Lawson says the state needs to do more to keep recent college grads and young workers in Ohio, adding the pathway to employment doesn't look the same as it used to. A prosecutor says an armed man accused of charging toward Ohio gubernatorial candidate Amy Acton during a campaign stop at a fair and knocking down two people before troopers stopped him was trying to ask the Democrat questions. No one has publicly said what 38-year-old Patrick Havis wanted to ask Acton, but authorities have said he never brandished or unholstered the weapons he had during the encounter, and they haven't found any threats in a search of his cell phone. Havis pleaded not guilty yesterday to two counts of assault, one count of disorderly conduct, and one count of inducing panic. Havis's bond was set at $5,000. As part of his bond, he can't contact Acton or the two people he's accused of pushing. And finally, the Transportation Security Administration, or TSA, is allowing eligible TSA PreCheck members without tickets to pass through security and enter gate areas at some U.S. airports. The move is a start toward reviving a tradition that largely disappeared after the September 11th, 2001 attacks 25 years ago this week. Before the attacks, individuals without tickets generally could accompany departing friends and relatives to their gates or meet them there upon arrival. The new Gateside by TSA PreCheck program is free, but members must apply online 1 to 3 days before their planned visits and receive approval. TSA says members of other trusted traveler programs who have a known traveler number also can apply for gate access. I'm Melissa Patrick, reporting for WKLM on Hometown News.